life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 99 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is July the 6th, 2013, and joining us today is celebrity anime pundit Bradley C. Meek.
I give that introduction two thumbs up.
Good, good.
Just two?
That's all I've got.
Yeah.
I gotta do with what I have to work with, you know.
Yeah.
And it is that time again to look back on the spring anime that we watched and enjoyed or didn't enjoy or didn't get around to watching. And look forward to the summer anime that Bradley will get around to watching. And then we'll try and catch up for the last week before we do the next podcast. But first up, UK anime releases for this week. We have a recurring release, Ungo, complete box set, Blu-ray and DVD combo pack.
Is this the new Klingeron where it's here every week?
Which I believe is still £22-23, and you get 11 episodes and the OAV on one Blu-ray and on two DVDs. And we've discussed that already.
Yeah.
So unless you've got anything to add, Bradley?
Nope. I haven't seen this. I want to eventually, though.
Yeah, it's decent.
It's on the stack, but the stack is pretty big.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I didn't have such a huge stack of unwatched DVDs already, then I could see me picking that up at a con sometime. But I think my brain would go, hang on, Brian.
What are you doing?
I should
what
measure
you're doing.
The stack beforehand and then have like a centimetre recognition of how much I have still have to watch before I go shopping. Then we also have Aria, the Scarlet Ammo DVD, which is £17 for 12 discs on two... Sorry, 12 discs... No, 12 episodes on two discs. So it's a new thing I added to my notes, and now I can't read it properly. I would say, if you want to know what my thing is in terms of anime, I imagine it is the exact opposite of whatever this is.
Why is that?
I mean, he's looked at the cover of the thing.
Is it vulgar?
Or... No.
No. I mean, it is a vulgar show, but it is also a picture typical tsundere moe bullshit, and that's what the main hero looks like. Main heroine looks like.
Yeah, it's based on the light novel series as well. So.
Yep. I mean, it. To get an idea of how terrible the first episode of this show was, which is all I've seen of it. It has autonomous, aggressive segways that wield machine guns, and it's still somehow really boring.
See, it doesn't sound like my good bowl of soup, that's for sure. Sounds like a fly in my soup.
We'll be holding off getting that. Mm-hmm. And the other release this week is Cat Planet Cuties, which is also 12 episodes on two discs for £17. And this I only know as a punchline to Twitter jokes.
Good Twitter jokes, though.
People tend to use it as a reference, a bit like Heat Guy J, they did for a while.
I've heard really, really good things about this, but I couldn't even finish the first episode. I don't know, man.
It's Mobby for Anthony, though. It's Cat Girls.
I was waiting for that.
You see, I like Cat Girls too, Anthony. I just couldn't dig this, so.
Well, guess I better keep looking for that show.
No, this might be the show. That's what I'm saying.
It may well be. I'm looking at screenshots now on Google Image Search. This may be the show for you, Anthony.
Well, perhaps.
You
I mean,
pick this up, Anthony.
Well, I'm looking for like the Sopranos of Cat Girls. Like,
this might
Tony...
be the Sopranos of Cat Girls. Like
Tony
A&M is like an A minus overall, so that's pretty much the Sopranos of Cat Girls. So, go buy the
maybe
DVD
I'll,
and
I'll
then
invest.
You tell me whether it was any good.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to do it. I've just been paid. It's £17, so I'm on that.
By the way, £17. That translates to what? $25 in real money.
Not far off, I'd imagine. That's pretty.
It's a really good price for 12 episodes.
Yeah, since they now I know they lowered the allowance for importing stuff into the UK. I'm really not going to look at what the exchange rate is at all. Let me have a look. £17 GBP to USD. That is, yeah, $25.85.
Damn, how did I even know that?
You are the human converter. It's £18. £17.
Yeah.
You found it. Where was that at?
I think it was Amazon. So I was round down. So.
Oh, you can even get models for this show. They're like £85 for. Well, I'm not going to get into the model buying. That's.
Yeah, the model will make you lose your dignity, but.
And money from the wallet. But it would look pretty. As pretty as it could be. Actually, it's very vulgar. Don't Google the models. Don't. Very vulgar.
It is a vulgar content. Anyway, yeah.
Anthony.
Yes.
Have you got your recap hat on? Your recap
It's more like a recap pair of sunglasses at how dark and how poorly lit you could say this show is. So, yeah. But
okay,
I have.
It's time for our weekly retro recap of Technolize.
You even pronounce it in the show now. So that shows how much you were listening.
Well, it's hard to keep your attention when you're looking at the backs of people's heads so much. Episode 2. But we'll get to that after the recap.
Yeah, well, it's a tough one to go through, to be honest. Well, at least now we can establish what Technolize means. So it took 2 episodes, which isn't too bad. It's basically to gain limbs of some sort, or like an amalgamation of robotics and electronic additions to the human body. And what I presumed was the main character from the first episode has now had his right arm and his left leg severed off. He's wandering around the world. I don't know where it's meant to be set. He's just wandering around, and everyone's being a dick to him, basically, for no apparent reason. And that's pretty much it. Not a lot goes on. We see a little bit more about the mafia that's involved with the show. They exchange words. And we still don't know what anyone's deal is, what anyone's plan is. They obviously reveal that the girl can see a little bit in the future, but it could be a different timeline that she sees, so it's never always true, which we gathered from the first episode anyway. And that's about it. That is literally it.
And it takes a long time getting there as well.
Yeah, I was watching this obviously for the full episode, and I kind of thought, is that it? Because it is literally following this guy wandering around looking really ill. And then at the end of the episode, some woman turns up, and we can only presume that she's going to technolize him with a new leg and a new arm. At least you would expect so, because he is definitely the main character.
You would expect so from the DVD cover that was going to happen.
Is he on the cover, is he? And does he have...
If you look up the name of the show, the main image is of him with a metal arm.
Oh, well, there we go then. Very Full Metal Alchemist about it. But I still love the intro theme, but...
Juno Reactor, I believe, is doing it.
I've heard it before in the past on an AMV, I believe, but I do like the theme. And I'm willing to stick with this because, you know, I feel like I've already invested a lot of effort kind of trying to work out what's going on and try and like the characters because they're pretty bland, to say the least. But I'm sure Brian has other thoughts.
Yes, you're going to have to go on alone, Anthony, because boy, oh boy, this was a boring episode. And I'm not just talking about the lack of things happening. I'm talking about the direction of the show. There are so many cheap shortcuts and not done in a stylish way that you don't notice that they're making a cheap shortcut. There are so many backs to camera. There are so many voices coming from off the side of the screen. So much of it takes place in this office with this boring orange wall. So there's not even like an interesting looking background for you to look at. Yeah, the only moment of excitement was when the guy with his afro sideburns turned up.
Oh, yeah, he was funky.
He had a character design in a show which...
Lacked
it a fair bit.
Anyway, I like the look of the girl. The girl with the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's interesting. I don't know whether she's enough to kind of make it an exciting show, because so far it's really not, I'm not going
to
lie.
But I was trying to keep track of the characters, and I looked up the English wiki page isn't that great, so I looked at the Japanese wiki page and looked up some of the character names on there, and the Genion website for this show pretty much spoils the rest of the show for you.
Oh, well, I don't want to hear this, because although I'm doing this alone, I'm going to do it.
But yeah, whatever you do, don't do what I just mentioned. Don't look up names of characters in their Japanese names, because you'll see images which will give stuff away.
Will it get good, do you think, Brian? I know you don't want to watch the third one, but from what you can gather from what you've seen...
I mean, the story looked interesting, but I wasn't willing to sit through this sort of animation to get to the end of it.
Yeah, it's 22 episodes long. It's not like it's an easy watch. It'll take time and effort, and I've got to do it all alone. Boy, no handholding.
Yeah, 22 episodes sounds... Yeah, I keep on forgetting that every time.
But that's to make it sound less appealing.
That is even less appealing. Yeah.
Lots of backs of heads and lots of...
orange walls.
Yeah. But don't you need to animate the girl's lips moving? Because she's always got the mask on.
That's pretty
clever. 80% of the time. So, they've got away with murder with this, I guess.
Well, you did get that nice Koike cut on the first episode from the boxing.
Mm. Oh, I mean, the first episode was miles ahead in terms of it drew me interest. And even though there was nothing said, whereas now that they are talking, they're talking boring stuff.
Now they are talking, they don't stop.
Yeah, but I'm going to stick with it regardless. I'm going to go off the track with this one.
So, next week we are going to watch the 2003 Astro Boy.
Whoa. I've seen this.
I've seen it as well. I've seen, but not the first, not necessarily the first episode. I've seen random episodes which are on kids' TV over here.
Will you be watching the British dub then?
We'll watch the US. We got the US dub. I don't think there's only the British dub on the. Well, it's not even British dub. There's just British people on the film. One, but no, we've just got a US dub, which we will watch because that's free on Crackle.com.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, even better. No, there we go. I've even got the app. I've even got the Crackle app, I believe, I think.
Astro Boy is easily available streaming just about everywhere, so...
That's why I picked it.
No, I don't like that attitude. I will pick anything. I can't find it.
Well, I'm sure you'll have interesting conversations about what localization can do to an anime.
Possibly. Mm. Oh, we just might say we really liked it and we want to watch the second episode.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I'm an open mind.
Righty-ho. Let's get into what spring shows we did watch. Okay. Right. Let me have a look. I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, I had 12 on my list last time. I didn't necessarily watch them all. Anthony was not here last time, so he has nothing.
So I dodged bullets. There's a little list, but I've had a very busy month. Every weekend I've been away or not available to watch stuff, which is usually my viewing time. So I've been I've been a cheat this season.
No, you've been a responsible adult.
Yeah, I guess so. I've been a socialite instead of not.
Okay, let's start with the thing which I think has been most watched, and that would be Attack on Titan. Well, I've only seen one episode of this, so you two get into it.
All right, go on, Anthony.
Oh, well, I mean, everyone and their dog's watching this show, I feel. I mean, there's people who I wouldn't pin watching an anime on, and I've chatted them, and they're like, oh, have you seen that thing with the giants? I'm like, what? Oh, Attack on Titan. Yeah. So everyone seems to be watching this. Everyone is in love with the theme tune. I mean, it's great, the intro. Do you love the intro, Bradley, Brian?
No, but I think it's led to some great parody videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, the YouTube.
If you haven't seen Attack on Hill, the King of the Hill parody, that's my favorite.
I've not seen that one. That sounds really good, though. But I wouldn't know how to tackle this in terms of synopsis, because I don't like doing synopsis.
Don't bother talking about synopsis.
Yeah, everyone's already seen it. I really like this, so.
I don't know, guys. I'm feeling bullied here. I've been tough on the show because I think you need to be tough on it. It could be... It's a pretty good cartoon already, but it's dragged down by some really lazy characterization. And just populated by broad types of characters that I've seen 100 times and I'm really tired of by this point. I think... It says a lot that the most popular character in the show is, one, the comedy relief, two, she's barely there, and three, the moment she is there, she only does something silly. But because she does something silly that completely breaks from what everybody else does in this rather dreary world, it just makes her lovable. I appreciate why this is loved. I think it does a very good job of setting up this really interesting, I want to say challenge, but it's obviously much more grotesque than that. These are giant men stomping around 17th century cities and eating people for no other purpose than that's just what they do. So it's really grim, and the action is really satisfying to watch. I like it basically when it's focused on attacking Titans. When it's doing basically anything else, I get bored.
Like all the train and stuff when they were kind of like preluding all this, them being in the army and stuff. I found that very dull, I'll be honest. But
yeah, it was a little dull.
I mean, it's interesting you say that they attack meaninglessly. I only say that because I'm really interested in the story. I think it's going to develop to there's something more than just these random entities attacking the city. I think there's a villain. I think there's going to be a villain. It's not necessarily sending them there, but I think there's a deeper motive than what it leads at the moment.
Yeah, my understanding that's why I'm interested. Is that there's a lot more going on than what we see.
Yeah.
And that this is all planned out. That there's some pretty amazing stuff that they're going to spring on us in the near future. I'm looking forward to seeing this. I will probably see this to the end. Just know that there's still plenty of stuff that I think drags it from being good to being great, if that makes sense.
Oh, it has some fantastic moments. And some of them, like the twists and turns, is just like, wow, this is exactly what I want to see. So I give it a double thumbs up.
I didn't like it.
Oh no!
But I don't like, well, I haven't liked rather anything I've seen of Tetsuo Araki's animation. Didn't like Death Note.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like Kurozuka. Thought he was completely the wrong person to do High School of the Dead. And yeah, not like this. It was like almost straight away. I mean, you can tell it's him from just like the overuse of filters on the opening credits. But yeah, it was like, I want to watch it, but I think I'm more likely to read the comic, and at the same time, I'm not likely to read the comic because I've got a comic I read, and that's One Piece.
That you can do two things. You can double dip.
Space and money, Anthony.
Well, just sell all your One Piece crap and just refill it with new stuff.
There's giants in One Piece, and they're much nicer than the ones in Attack on Titan.
I don't think there's any giants that are quite as evil as the one in Attack on Titan, to be honest. Well, the ones, I should say. It's such a grim show, and I think that's one of the reasons I fell in love with it very quickly.
It's Baby's First Gantz as well. That's the other thing.
Oh, that was the towel.
It's Gantz with all the sharp edges taken off.
Damn.
Isn't it, though? There's that other one with the appalling racist cockroaches in. What's that other comic called?
I don't know if I would go that far. But that's a bit much, even for me.
That's another Gantz copyist, though. I mean, this does feel...
So this does have a sense of gravitas that I think it's too juvenile to pull off, yes. If that's what you're getting at.
Well, no, I'm not getting at that. I'm just talking about the giant monsters with no explanation, people forced to fight them in desperate circumstances. Feels very Gantz, and so does that ridiculous. I can't even remember what it's called now.
What's a racist cockroach?
Is this comic about what they are? They're trying to terraform Mars, is it? And they go to check up on how it's going, and these cockroach men have appeared, but they're appalling racist caricatures.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes,
people listening know what I'm talking about will remember the name of it. But it's another pseudo Gantz thing where people go up against monsters and get horribly
eaten and disfigured.
Yeah.
I'll note that like giant monsters and a population having to fight against them has been a thing in Japan since Godzilla, at least. So
yeah, but I mean this sort of hand-to-hand combat by tiny people.
Tiny people. They're normal-sized people, Brian. They're just...
I saw somebody on Twitter that was saying, "Will that be the twist?" People being attacked by humans.
Like the initial shock factor of seeing people being eaten in half, all that kind of stuff, is great initially. But the thing that's drawn me in is that aspect, is that kind of I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to lead to. I mean, are you totally up to date, Bradley, or not?
No. I'm at the part where they're talking about moving a rock. Can I mention
that
they've
okay.
spent like 2 episodes talking about moving a rock? They've spent 2 episodes talking about moving a rock.
Well, the comic is still ongoing, so you've got to deal with these Shonen adaptation.
Well, a lot of friends of mine have kind of they've enjoyed the show. They're like, you know what? F this. I'm just going to read the manga. And they're completely up to date with the manga in no time, obviously, because you can hammer through something if you enjoy it. And they say that's the best way for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's like I said, I'd much rather read the comic than watch the ponderous direction of this show.
Well, I think it's one of the good ones from this season.
Yeah, I agree. It's good. And this is going to be a series people are going to remember for a long time too.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly it has taken off. One final note. I haven't seen a machine in an anime since Strike Witches that I have wanted to actually pilot myself. As much as the one in Attack on Titan, the little, gaseous grappling hook, machinations. Those are awesome.
Yeah. I like those.
Anyway,
Terraformars is the manga.
Terraformars.
Yes.
Formars, as everyone begins to Google. Terraformars. Gosh, right. Stupid Google. Forget it.
Moving on. Okay. What else have people been talking about a lot? We've all watched Velrave, or some of Velrave,
yeah.
I imagine a tiny amount each, because I think we've all stopped. Yeah. For the similar reasons. Yeah, I watched the first episode of this, and it was maddening, because it felt like they just had whoever was creating it had a brainstorming session, and they decided to keep every single idea they came up with and put it in the show.
Oh, that's a good description.
In what way? Tell me, because I'll be honest, because I've been lazy and busy, I've only watched the first episode of this.
I mean, I only watched the first episode as well.
What problems you've got?
It was a huge mess.
Oh, I got
it's a huge mess.
3 episodes, well, 2.5.
Right. the good idea, I thought, was the vampire stuff, the sacrificed pilot ship, but then you've got that tone, and then there's...
Hold on, what vampire stuff?
Oh, you didn't watch.
Anthony, watch the end of the first episode. Oh, you had to watch after credits.
Oh, that's such a. That's vampires. Why I was interested.
They're vampires, Anthony. The main character is a vampire.
Yes.
At the end of the first episode, he gets shot by the pale, white-haired guy who was the spy who snuck into the school. He shoots him, and he calls him by a name that you hadn't heard before, and they apparently have a long-standing rivalry of some kind.
Ugh.
And after he gets shot, the main character, the guy just walks away and assumes he's dead, and he's like, okay, let me get into this giant robot. I'm going to control this giant robot. And then he turns around, and he gets bitten on the neck.
Hold on a sec. In the first episode, this happens?
Yes
at the end. After the
credits.
Ah, well, that's my problem right there.
Yes.
See, right, I've seen people saying it was silly on Twitter, and I was kind of like, there's nothing silly about this, until now.
Yeah, it's just a generic Gundam ripoff.
Yeah, that's a big problem. It's like, yeah, it's hugely, it's like, this is the plot of the first episode of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Of so many Gundams, so many other Gundams, too. It's a purposeful goof, though. You don't realize it at the time, but they do that on purpose.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the lightness of touch.
It's also just you can follow in the line of Gundam to try and disarm your audience and still make it interesting, I think, to watch. This was not.
No. And there's all sorts of other stuff which is a mess. You got the big-breasted lesbian schoolgirl grabbing hold of a teacher. It's like, why is that even in there? Tonally is completely off with what's actually happening in this scene.
You know what's even more tonally grotesque is that these are all high schoolers, and if you know what happens later on in the anime, and because people love talking about the anime more than actually watching it, I do, it seems really weird that all of the main characters are high school students, because later on they will establish their own nation their own nation state that is basically the high school. That nation state becomes the foundation for an evil vampire empire.
See, this is making me want to watch it, but, like, but at the same time, I know
I had the same reaction.
But I've seen it, and I know how much of a mess it is.
Oh, it's just so dull to actually watch. I'm told I might watch the second season. What I might do, I'm told that the entire first season is just set up. Looks like it just feels like set up for the second season, and the second season looks a lot more awesome. Since I have a general idea of what happened this season, I'll probably just jump straight to the second season, and hopefully no boring bullshit will happen.
All right, let's go through the other.
I just want to say I'm hugely disappointed, because after only seeing the, I guess, realistic stuff without vampires, I was kind of like, you know what, this is all right. The robot's got a samurai sword. This is fine.
Well, the clue is on the panel when he's starting the robot up, and he asks him whether
sacrifice
he wants to be being
is a human. Yeah. Well, I didn't know where it was going to go with that. You see, so I never predicted vampires. Nobody ever does.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
We also, I watched episode one of Gargantia, Anthony. How much of Gargantua?
I can't remember if it was two or three.
And how about you, Bradley?
I'm caught up.
You're all
caught up. Wow. So Bradley likes. Well,
once Crunchyroll airs the final episode, then I'll be finished with it. So.
Well.
My opinion is that it started really, really well. The middle kind of slogged, and I think the ending is picking up a bit to the quality of the first few episodes, but isn't quite there. I think a lot of people will peg this as, relative to how much they enjoyed the first episode, this was the biggest disappointment of the season. I think even with that, it's still a solid anime that is perfectly streamable if you're looking for like a good time with some giant robots and some science fiction.
So does it mainly stay on Earth after the first episode? Or does it,
does. Okay. It does. It stays in Kevin Costner's water world. I mean, that's what it is, right?
So people complain about that, and they preferred the first half of the first episode, did they?
No, I don't know. I think what people really enjoyed about the TV series is how it was a very detailed kind of convincing clash of cultures, where the guy is very gradually kind of getting into the world, into Earth, and figuring out where he is and adapting to it. That, I think, is kind of the most interesting part of the show, because they pay attention to a lot of details. They do things like have him speak in a made-up language, for instance, and I think that adds to the immersion. And he very gradually learns Japanese. And you can eventually figure out when he's speaking in Japanese and when he's speaking in space language. The problem, I think, the main problem is the writing. Urobashi has always been a really ham-fisted writer. This is probably his most ham-fisted work yet, because the core of it is Leninism versus capitalism. And that's not really fun as a subject. And it doesn't really handle it gracefully or subtly. There's a part midway through the series where they're explaining kind of the basics of, here, you do work, so you get paid, and then you spend money to get stuff you desire. Do you desire anything? And while they're talking about desires, the cute anime chicks that are part of the show are belly dancing in the background.
Oh, no.
It's a fantastic bit of animation, but again, really ham-fisted.
Well, I wonder whether the animators were thinking, we've got to make this dialogue interesting somehow. Let's distract from it.
Yes.
Dancing and technolize.
Oh, God.
I think it has a really good direction, though. I'm looking forward to whatever else that this director does. I know he was the guy who did the Full Metal Alchemist movie for Brotherhood. And I think that the animation, just how the show looks, is consistently really good. And does a lot to carry the show.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and I thought, well, that was a nice piece of animation that I watched. But nothing really hooked me enough to make me want to watch any more.
Did you not like the robot? Because I loved...
Oh. Yeah, I did like the robot.
I don't like... That's my weak point. That's my Achilles heel with this. I admit I haven't seen much in terms of like the story and whatnot, but I love the look of everything until the robot starts flying around. The look of it, if it was just animated normally, I just don't like the CGI.
I was thinking more of his personality.
Yeah, he
has the robot as a character is fantastic. I just wish we didn't have to look at him. I just don't like the CGI.
Let's round up the mecha. thing with Majestic Prince, which I also watched the first episode of. And this, of the three, this was the one I enjoyed the most and I'm going to watch more of. But all three of them combined particularly feel like the mecha genre just waving a white flag at ever attracting any child audience ever again.
It's like, just they waved that flag a long time ago.
I know, but
ago.
Three of them coming at once feels like really just giving up.
I don't. They're still damn ball-sinky.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's not giant robots, though. I mean, that's the one clever one. But yeah, after Gundam, I mean, they didn't wave the white flag. They tried Gundam Age.
Yeah, they did.
Kids
really
don't give a
Gundam
fuck
Age.
About Gundam.
The adults didn't give a fuck about Gundam. The kids didn't give
they
a fuck
toys.
About Gundam
they bought
Age.
The toys.
Was it?
Yeah, apparently, from what I was reading, I can't remember where, but I think they bought the high-end toys aimed at the high-end kits aimed at adults were bought.
Oh,
it was
but
the low-end kits aimed at children were.
You mean the kits that I bought? Jeez.
Yeah, so that completely missed its audience. So yeah, this just having three mecha shows in the same season and all of them definitely not aimed at kids. I mean, Majestic Prince just feels like, hey, you remember Nadesco? Yeah, we remember Nadesco too. It was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Oh, that's... So it does that?
I don't know if it does that, but that's what it... I mean, that's what the show felt like, watching a show made by people who enjoyed Nadesco and wanted to... But yeah, Gundam Age does that as well, but it doesn't do it in a playful way. I don't know whether the Majestic Prince is doing that or whether the aliens are going to be aliens who just look like humans.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. It was fun. I particularly enjoyed the sniper robot whose head slides over onto its shoulder to pick up the scope of the arm, which turns into the gun. And yeah, I'll be checking some more of this out because it feels like a comedy. Valrave doesn't feel like a comedy. There's weirdly comedy in there, whereas Majestic Prince totally just feels like this is a comedy mecha show.
They have the tone down perfect in the first episode. I got bored of it sometime around the third episode and I can't quite remember why, but I'm already watching like a dozen things this season.
Yeah.
So it was not hard to drop something if I get bored with just one episode.
Okay, let's move on to another talked about show. And one you two watched, and I tried to watch and didn't get anywhere with. Flowers of Evil.
Well,
best show this season, far and away. Probably the best show of the year.
That's a big boots for Flowers of Evil.
I'll just lay that on there. All right, go, Anthony.
I was just going to say how I've only seen the first episode, and I really, really liked it. I love... The art style, I love this. What I believe it to be setting up to, this is right on my street. As long as it didn't go down the vampire route. that's one thing. But I really like the look of this, and I was meaning to watch it a long time ago, like weeks ago, but I couldn't find, like, I'll be honest, like subs for it. Like downloads
it's on
for
Crunchyroll,
it. Well, I didn't find it on Crunchyroll. I didn't look on Crunchyroll. Is it actually? Is it really?
Oh, yes.
Well, I didn't know.
And it's not region locked or anything, right?
Let's have a look here. I don't believe it.
Look at Crunchyroll first all the time, actually. Most things are on
Maybe
Crunchyroll.
I should. Is it me? Is it...
And it's all legal, too, man. Support the industry, man. Man.
I guess it is there. Okay, I guess it is there. So,
jeez.
Well, no excuse for not continuing, which I will be. After this show, I'll probably catch up with that, actually. Because... I was really interested in it. I like the looks of everything. I like the exchanges, the interactions between characters. It's just really, it feels believable. Everything about it seems like very, very believable, understanding obviously very little about the story, but we'll see where it goes with that.
So I'll leave Brian to talk about the animation. And whatever he says about it, I can probably go, yeah, I can see that. But I think the animation ends up working in the series' favor because the story is very unsettling, and they're just straight up adapting the manga here. And I think what the animation does is add some verisimilitude. That's a word. I promise. I just didn't pronounce it correctly. It adds a level of realism. That also, and on top of that realism, there's also this unsettling aspect of horror to it because of the... Can you hear that? Can you hear that lawnmower?
No.
I can hear something so faint, but I can block it out.
Mentally. Sorry about that. It adds a level of realism and horror to the whole thing that makes it very unsettling to watch. On top of the, on top of just how unsettling the story is, I think it ends up being kind of a nice marriage of visuals and story. But Brian, you disagree.
Yeah, I hear this argument. Oh, it makes it more unsettling because it's rotoscoped. Oh, it's like. Wow, what's the Waking Life?
Griffin.
It's like,
what was that? That adaptation of the Philip K. Dick novel that was rotoscoped.
Yeah, Scanner Darkly.
Remember that one?
Well.
That's what it reminds me of. Which I really liked that movie too.
Which I love both Waking Life and Scanner Darkly.
Yeah, but people who say that, I go, have you seen either of those films? Because those were visually interesting. unsettling. Unsettling. Are you scared by clip art? Because that's what it looks like to me. It's just visually repellent. It's like clip art people acting out school dramas. I barely got like 8 minutes into it. I was just, and people go, photorealistic background. They're boring photorealistic background. You want great photorealistic background, go to Osamu Kobayashi. Shows. It's just so much dumb talk about this thing. And what's the thing which really turned me off is the fact they got these rotoscope people with all the detail taken out of their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stick on, try to make their hair look like manga or anime hair. And there's that one screenshot people posted over and over again from the first episode and parodied umpteen times on Pixiv. And.
Yeah. Whose hair is it? Because
I don't even know the character's name.
Is it messy hair?
It's one of the girls' hair.
Oh. So are you trying to say do one or the other?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, do one or the other. Just make it totally... Yeah. Or make it more surreal, like Waking Life. Or it's just no good. And I don't understand. I mean, the defences people make of it don't make sense to me, because that's not the issue I have with it.
Well,
I'm not going to judge it on the story because I didn't hang around long enough to know what the story was about.
I think the story is fantastic. It does crazy things that you don't see coming, but it does them really well, so it feels completely natural. And of course, it's also a really good examination of the mindset of some really disturbed teenagers.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, I put off watching it for a while because when I come home at the end of the day, it's about the last thing I want to watch. But I've been setting aside some time this weekend to catch up, and that has been a very good decision. So,
right, I'm going to talk about what is actually the best show of the year.
Here we go.
Moromi-san?
A slice of life comedy about three brothers who work at a convenience store.
Not Moromi-san.
Oh, no, it's not. I know exactly where it is.
DD Fist of the North Star.
Jeez.
Came along late, which is why I've only seen the first three episodes of it. But yeah, this was like, oh, this is exactly my thing. This is exactly what I want to watch.
Ugh. That's it. I'm done with Akitaro
Daiichi.
I'm done with him.
Is
I'm
the
done.
Best comedy adaptator.
No. Absolutely
what
not.
What problem do you have? Because if you've got any problems, it's going to be straight out of the comic. And not anything to do with
possibly,
it.
Possibly, I don't know. I find that Akitaro Daiichi is a very, very, very loud... He does very loud comedy. And I'm tired of comedy that is that in my face for that long. And then after it makes a joke, it will tell you the joke it just made.
Hey, now, here you go, Bradley. This is another dumb argument you're making.
Come on.
Because this only happens in certain parts of the show. That only happens when Bat's around.
It happens all the time, and because Bat's around all the time.
He's not around all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. And that's part of
it. It sure
the
feels
comedy.
That way. He's like an oppressive force on the cartoon.
No, it's...
It makes it so much less entertaining.
Do you not like... because I love those shows. I love the sort of shows where there is a baseline of reality.
Sorry.
A baseline of reality, and then there is an introduction of some form of insanity to it. Uh-huh. And only one character can seemingly notice that this element of insanity has been introduced into this normal world.
I'm fine with that premise.
And
yes.
I just love it. I just love that. And this is perfect. I think the only thing which is wrong with it, I would say, is that I don't think it needs to be half an hour long.
Like Azazel-san and Moromi-san, which we'll get to in a little while, that's also a good description of their comedy, right? I think we both enjoyed that. This, it is just so in your face, it's just so loud. I feel almost like I'm being talked down to as an audience. Does that make sense?
It does, but you're wrong. No, I don't understand that complaint that people make over and over again about Japanese comedy, because I don't understand why people don't find somebody getting ridiculously angry at the antics of other idiots funny.
I've seen that done much better, though. I recognize that that's just kind of a cultural trope for comedy at this
point. And also, I'll say, that is only when Bat's there, and Bat's not there in every episode.
He sure feels that way. It's what I took away the most from this, so. I mean, this is a perfect example of a cartoon that needs to be a lot shorter, right? If this was in 15-minute chunks or even 10-minute chunks, I would love this, probably.
If it's two stories, so, you don't have to watch both stories at the same time.
I guess,
no
still.
One's forcing you at gunpoint to do that. But yeah, I like that Man's Eye influence on non-stand-up comedy, because that's where it's coming from.
I think you guys are overanalyzing this. Just take it for what it is. It's not Fist of the North Star. And I don't like it. I just don't like it.
So do you not like any of the other Fist of the North Star spin-offs there's been, or are you not aware of them?
I'm probably just not aware of them. I'm happy as it is. Don't get me wrong. I can totally see why people would want to make jokes of it, and because it's that iconic. But just let it rest. We don't need this DD crap. Just what's a DD stand for?
No, Anthony. Now I disagree with everybody. This is a great idea for a cartoon. I really wanted to enjoy this, and I couldn't.
Well, Bradley, if you want to enjoy it more, I suggest watching the first adaptation of it.
Okay.
And then
there was another one?
Yes, there was.
Oh, good.
Oh, God.
And then you'll think, oh, hang on, I was totally wrong about DD Fist of the North Star.
So, what was the first adaptation? Is it like similar humour or not?
It's like a really bad adaptation of the comic.
Done
with very limited animation.
Last time you and I, Brian, we were like neck deep in the hot tub of consensus, so I guess it's a nice change of pace. To finally be disagreeing about things.
Anyway, DD Fist of the North Star, best show ever.
We disagree.
Oh.
Unless there's a Puyo Puyo season 2. In which case, I'll take that back. Yeah, I think you're wrong about Akitaru Daiichi as well, because there's none of that in Kuru Neko. Is there really any of that in Puyo Puyo either?
No, not really. I seem to remember another show of his that was a real turnoff for me that had a similar problem of being really heavy-handed with its jokes in the same like Man's Eye comedy way. So
yeah, I mean,
I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. It had something to do with like an elf princess or something.
Oh, that's his very first OAV.
Yes.
So that's true. Yeah. But I love that.
I still haven't forgiven him for that one. Oh my god!
I think you're incredibly misjudging his style, because what he does nowadays, I don't know whether he's done it for this, but he basically just takes the comic and uses that as the storyboards. So he changes very little from what's in the comic in translating it, because he wants to keep the pace of the comic in the cartoon version.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a problem with it, I suspect the problem comes from the comic, not from the adaptation.
Okay, I can accept that I'm possibly wrong about that. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, please do.
Righty-ho. Anthony, we've covered everything you've watched.
Yeah.
All right, let's check Bradley's and see what things I've watched on Bradley's list. Okay, Moromi-san.
Yes! This was a nice surprise. I've talked too much. I was going to let you fill in.
I felt like I talked too much. Anyway, yes, this show was a nice surprise as well. It's very well animated.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I like the way it uses limited sets, so to speak. They don't go to many locations.
I like how they take jokes that I think by themselves aren't particularly funny, but then animate them so much that they become funny. It gives it a really nice exaggerated sense that I would like to see in more anime, actually. This is one of those where if it was not animated, the jokes would be a lot less funny.
Yeah,
does that make
yeah.
sense?
I think you do. I think you
well,
do
sell it to me, because I don't know what this is. Sell it to me.
Okay, it's a show about it's another fishing show.
Oh, well.
Second one.
Oh, dear.
Recent
no,
times.
No, it's not. He's trolling you.
Oh,
it's about average high school boy. He likes to go fishing, and he catches a mermaid once on the dock. The mermaid turns out to be... have you ever met a really enthusiastic, social, junior high girl... who is all up in everybody's business. That's kind of what Moromi-san is like. I don't know if that's the best description. Do y'all even have junior highs in Britain? I don't know.
No.
I don't know what age junior high is, but I would love to meet one.
So
it
14,
very...
well,
oh, well, that's too
15.
Young.
That was the shadiest high. Thing you have said all day.
Junior high was like college years, like, you know, like Saved by the Bell of college years or something. Oh, well, I don't know how to take this from here.
No, but she's she's millennia old, though.
Yes.
It becomes clear. And she knows loads of other ancient monsters who show up each episode.
And they play off that joke really well, because she's old, but she doesn't really think of herself as old. She doesn't really think of her age. So she'll say a thing that, in the context of how she looks, would just be a mundane thing to say. But because she's millennia old and is, like, technically speaking, a mythical monster, it becomes a lot funnier, or it just means something else entirely.
Hmm.
That's one of the running gags through the show. The other being that she's friends with many mythical monsters who are basically sexy mermaids who just while away the time.
Or a sexy male kappa.
Or a sexy male kappa, yes.
Which is very odd. He's got like a ridiculous physique.
He was one of my favorite characters.
Oh, I like the... what's the snake monster?
Was she even a snake monster? Or was
she was,
just...
yeah. She's the one which they mistake Poyo Poyo for in one of the Poyo Poyo episodes.
Oh,
Poyo Poyo has the same markings. But yeah, she's like the snake with really girly anime eyes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And hope it comes back, because it's mm-hmm. surprisingly well animated.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably because it's only 10 minutes long. Don't have to put any filler in. Also, we had a Zazzle-san Zed.
Okay, that did not start well. But the last two arcs that I saw, which was the murder arc and the thief arc, I thought brought it back to form. So yeah. All is forgiven.
Yeah, same here. It's got one problem arc, which is... I mean, the first arc's a little dull.
Yeah.
And it's kind of compressing bits of other arcs in order. Because there's no introduction to that Tanuki character in the anime. So they just have him appear.
I wonder if I had just forgotten about him. I wasn't sure.
No. They basically just didn't bother adapting the story where he is introduced.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's the absolutely homophobic second arc. It's
yes.
rather repellent.
I wasn't a fan of the arc that followed that either, with the mermaid.
I mean, I quite liked it because it's got the angels in, which is one of my favourite jokes of the series.
Yeah, I could see that being a good joke. It was Moromi, I'm sorry, not Moromi, the mermaid herself, who I just find completely repellent as a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering, is it more misogynist than it is misanthropic? And yeah, it probably is.
It's there. It's, yeah, that's what I'd say, yeah.
Because, probably, I mean, if Akutabi, that's the main character's name, isn't it? Not the main character, but the head character, head of the agency. It's like, if he was a butt of some jokes as well, then maybe you could argue not. But I think because mm-hmm. he never really is. And any sign of weakness is kind of a softening of his character rather than
and like
a
the
floor like everybody else's.
And like the main character, the girl, I can't remember her name, she doesn't actually have a character. She just stands by and watches things happen and comment on them. So, yeah, I think that kind of contributes to a sense that this is misogynistic and homophobic. And it just gets a lot better once it gets past those two arcs.
But it is plenty misanthropic as well, though.
It is.
Is it a question of whether it's more than it is everything else? But yeah, the remaining three arcs have been a lot of fun. I was hoping in the last episode, but I think I don't know if it skipped a week, because normally I'd have found it fan-subbed this morning. But
I really enjoyed the Thief arc. And I really enjoyed the murder arc. I think the series is much better when it's just making penis jokes. So good job, Azazel-san. More penis jokes, please.
Yeah, those are... I mean, one of those is packed with penis jokes. And one is,
yes.
One is a very long penis
packed,
joke.
You say. Very long, you say.
I did really like the first series of this, so I don't know why I didn't tune into this. Maybe I'll just get them as a big bunch and then hammer through them all.
Okay, yeah. Righty-ho, what else crosses over? Oh, you Doki Doki Pretty Cure, that kind of started the previous season. You want to talk about that, Bradley?
I mean, fan opinion, at least on my Twitter feed, has been down for this, but I think it's been really good so far, so I might be alone in that. I don't know. Right now, they're just wrapping up a big arc where this really endearing, cute villainess has now become one of the good girls, and I've been enjoying watching the process of that happen, even though I think it was a little too, well, this is all magic, we'll do some hand-waving. But I kind of forgive that, because it's a children's cartoon. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I look forward to it every Sunday.
I kind of dropped off it just through time, rather than disliking it. I think Akiba Ranger came along, so... That took up the time I had to watch Doki Doki Pretty Cure. Okay, I think we've ended our crossing over, so let's
take it away, Bradley.
Remaining stuff. I've got some remaining stuff as well.
Oh, have you? All right.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of Jewel Pet Happiness. It wasn't as good as Jewel Pet Sunshine, so therefore I did not carry on watching it. Bradley, you want to pick one of your...
Yes, Yugishiki was another one of my favorites this season. I didn't expect a lot from it, but it ended up being a pretty solid comedy. A lot of people were comparing it to Azumanga Daioh. I don't think it has the same level of observational humor that Azumanga Daioh really pulls off. But what it does pull off that's similar to Azumanga Daioh is really good character interaction. When you talk to friends for a long time and then you talk to them late at night and eventually become delirious and your conversations get really weird, that's what Yugishiki is for an extended period of time. But imagine that all of your friends are actually girls and all the girls are probably lesbians. So there's also that subtext in there as well. It's silly, it's endearing, and I'm sad that it only lasted 12 episodes. I really would have liked to see this go for 2 core.
I watched, unsubtitled, the very first episode of Train Hero, or Train Heroes, I can't remember which way it is. Now, anybody complaining about any other cartoon released this spring, and I'm going to say this year, you should watch Train Hero to get some sense of perspective. Because it is mind-blowingly awful, and it transcends language. You do not need to understand what they're saying to know how bad it is. So anybody complaining about anything else, so if you complain about Flowers of Evil like I was, or complaining about Fist at the Door Star like Bradley was, you need to watch Train Hero, because that will give you some sense of just how bad cartoons can be. Right, back to you, Bradley.
Chihiro Furu had its second season. I just watched the last episode of it. It was great. I feel almost lucky like we got 50 episodes of this, because my understanding is that the Blu-rays didn't sell very well, but I know that the financial situations that people take into consideration whenever they're funding anime is a lot more complicated than that. Anyway, it says a lot. I tweeted this earlier, but it says a lot about the anime that it takes a very culturally specific sport like Karuta and makes it really involving. It has a great love triangle, great characters. You'll root for them. You'll fall in love with them, like I did for several of them. It's just a great show. Try and make the time for it.
And the last thing I checked out was the first episode of Inazuma 11 Go Galaxy, which is the third Inazuma 11 Go series, and I have no idea which in total of the Inazuma Eleven franchise it is the series of. In this one, three of the main characters from the previous series are picked to be in the new Japanese team, schools team, and but all the other team members are people who've never played football before. And they're all basically character types that would be normally their own lead character in other genres of anime and manga. So you've got a school hooligan, you've got a brainiac, people who do various other sports which aren't football. And also the team seems to be put together by the guy who used to be the villain in the first two Inazuma 11 games. But he's using a false name, even though he looks exactly like he used to look, just older and with a beard. And to be fair, some of the old characters from the original Inazuma 11 team at the end of the episode do show up and go, hey, that's really, you're really that guy. And apparently I had to look up, he had done a face turn in a previous series, so they may already know that he's a good guy rather than a bad guy. But he is still acting very strange that he's put together this Japanese team full of people who can't play football. And they all get beaten in the first episode. But the other great thing is, because they've had all these superpowers in the previous two Inazuma 11 Go teams, is they've had to introduce a rule for this league where they can't use these superpowers.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It's insane.
So there are forbidden moves in soccer.
They can't summon these avatars and things that they've been summoning.
Oh, my God. I tell you, Brian, every time I go on the show and we talk about these children's cartoons, I begin to think, like, where the coolest shit is happening is in the cartoons that are actually for children.
Exactly. So what you got left, Bradley?
The last thing I got left, I can't possibly pronounce. Ayura? This is another I really enjoyed. It's a short, so you have... that's about 4 minutes long, I think. So you have 1 minute of intro music, 1 minute of outro music, and 2 minutes of jokes. I'm not happy with that format, actually. But the jokes themselves are pretty solid. It's a fairly narrow appeal because it's obviously still schoolgirls going to school and doing silly things. But it can be pretty clever at times. And it also has the single most bizarre opening of the season, which has a lot of pictures of Steve Jobs holding a crab. I don't know what's up with that. It's never explained in the show. It's a thing that happens. But it takes like a total of probably like 10 minutes to watch. So do check it out if you like cute comedies.
Did you want to talk about Devil is a Part-Timer and Hayati the Combat Butler?
Oh, I forgot about that. I was looking at the end of my list. Yes, I do. Devil is a Part-Timer, I actually have fallen way behind on this. The first arc, though, was pretty solid. The beginning of the second arc, not so much. I really liked the characters in this, I think. This is something that I think Anthony would love if he watched it. It's amusing how this evil overlord from a fantasy planet latches on to a plan to take over the world via starting at the bottom of a McDonald's and working his way up the corporate ladder. And to watch him act like a competent human being just for evil purposes is amusing. They also go through some moments that are actually pretty badass. The evil overlord is probably not that evil. The hero who comes in, who defeated him in the other world. She's a fun character, kind of a tsundere angry, kind of the tsundere angry type. But the series handles it well enough that I found her entertaining to watch. I'm hoping that the show doesn't stay in one place, as if we get to watch our evil overlord try and go up the corporate ladder. I want to see some more stuff change. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen, but we'll see. I still need to catch up on it. And Hayate the Combat Butler Cuties was simply the worst Hayate the Combat Butler anime adaptation we've ever had. God damn it, Manglobe. And the thing is, like, it's so competently done, but it is so cynical. Like, you probably kind of knew on the outset, it's cuties, it's all about focusing on the cute girls. It is the platonic ideal of cynical anime. But I don't think that's really the problem with it. I'm kind of okay with that as a concept as long as it's still funny. And I think it bungles the jokes and focuses on boring characters for like a good stretch of it, and it makes it much more of explicitly a harem anime than any other adaptation that I have seen so far. I'm told that they're basically adapting short story arcs from the manga. Some of those story arcs I loved. I thought that one character in particular got a really good episode that I would have put up against anything else that was airing this season. But now it's all leading up to this tie-in to the season that came before it. That was much more of a drama. And while I quite liked that, it kind of zeroes in on the harem elements by doing this cynical, well, now Hayate has got to kiss one of the girls or something really bad happens. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Okay, let's see if there's going to be things in the summer which will be better than cuties for Bradley. Okay. Do a slightly different. As Bradley had pretty much got everything but one title that we've got on his list. We're going to go through, and I'll say a name and then a title, and we'll get into it from there. So, Bradley, Servant X Service.
So, this is based on a light novel by the same author who did the Working light novel. Working got a really nice adaptation of two-season adaptation, and I would have loved a third season. I'm secretly hoping that this is the third season, since it seems to have a similar premise of people working in the service industry, but this time it's people working in the government bureaucracies. We'll see how it works out. Hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, I never saw Working, though I have seen loads and loads of parodies of its opening sequence.
They have really good openings, just in terms of both how it looks, and the earworms are fantastic.
Anthony, right, here's the one which only you picked.
Why is that? Well, we'll get to it.
Sunday Without God.
Right, I can't remember what its Japanese title was. I did have to Google it to get it translated. Apparently set in a time where humans are no longer being born, and they haven't been born for around 15 years. 12 years ago, there was a girl born to a grave digger and a human. And apparently grave diggers are some form of protectors. And the main girl, which is what really surprised me, that I liked it from the trailer, she looks very girly, but she fights with like a grave digger's shovel. And apparently this guy turns up to their village, causing a big ruckus, and she's fights against him to protect us. I hope that's not it. I hope that's not all it's about. But I don't know. I watched the trailer and it looks pretty cool. It looks like a beat 'em up, like a 2D fighter in a sense. Like the character designs look really good, and I would play a game of it. That's for sure. So I'm willing to give it a blast.
You know, I'll give it a shot too.
No, I'm good. Converge. Why wasn't it on your list, Brian?
I would not touch it with a 10-foot.
Do you see the character designs? Do you have to ask him why?
Well, see, I guess that's why I'm so surprised that I threw it on the list there. I think it's after watching the trailer, I thought, you know what, this could be good. She fights with a shovel, for goodness sake.
Well, I think that sounds like a fun idea for a cartoon.
Yeah.
I think there's probably some sort of ratio between hand and head size that turns me off from the character design. I should probably do some sort of mathematical investigation into that.
While you're at it, you can also figure out what ratio of hand it is that bothers you about Kyo Annie.
Oh, yeah, I was going to look. I was actually thinking of doing that. If I could find enough screenshots.
And at least you could bear to look at them long enough.
Yeah, exactly, without leaving for lunch. Why ho. Talking things you can eat. Silver Spoon is my first pick, which me and Bradley had on our lists.
So hyped for this.
What? How can you be hyped for this? Go on, I'm not going to steal this.
Hang on, let me just find my notes. I haven't put my notes. I made a load of notes.
Probably bin them.
That's what I'm
hoping. Anthony, I'll give you a tidbit of information that Brian's going to tell you in a minute. This is based on a manga written by the same mangaka who wrote Fullmetal Alchemist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's Hiromu Arakawa is the creator of the comic, and it has been directed by Tomohiko Ito. And this may temper your enthusiasm when I tell you that he was the director of Sword Art Online.
Oh,
no, actually,
right.
That makes me more excited.
Okay.
Because that was a well-produced cartoon. Yeah. All of its problems were in its source material.
Okie doke.
Give me Silver Spoon.
And it's written by Taku Kishimoto, who adapted the Bunny Drop adaptation for this slot, in fact.
That's a stellar lineup. This cannot fail.
Yeah.
Says sure the guy who said, Magi cannot possibly fail either.
yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. I've not read the comic. I'm assuming it's more in the humorous vein of her stuff than the darker parts of Full Metal Alchemist.
It might actually be honest to goodness slice of life.
Yes, indeed. Slice of cheese, maybe. They make that with the milk. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot. But, hopefully I will actually watch it, unlike Miyashimon, where I watched the first episode, enjoyed it, and then proceeded to not watch any more of it.
Oh, that was a mistake. You need
to
go back.
I know it was a mistake, but it was a matter of time and stuff.
Mm.
Okie doke, righty-ho. Let me get back to the list. I shall edit all that down into something much more sensible. Okie doke. Bradley now is back with a show I have never heard of, Prisma Ilia.
So Prisma Ilia is... Hang on, I need to fake nerd this and Google it real quick, because if this is the show I'm thinking of...
At least I have.
Jeez. Okay, yes, this is the show I'm thinking of. Please edit that part out. All right, so Prisma Ilia is based on the Fate Stay Night franchise. Much like how Gundam is a subset of anime fandom, that you can spend all your time in Gundam just as a Gundam fan, Fate Stay Night and its related works by Type Moon Studios has its own like really huge subset of fandom. And this is a new kind of insular show from a running gag where one of the characters from Fate Stay Night becomes a magical girl. And they're doing a full, I think, 13 one-core episode series based on that. And there's also going to be other characters who will be magical girls. I've been following Type Moon fandom for a while. I think they've gotten a couple really good anime adaptations. There was... An extended OVA of 13 episodes that was basically just kind of a celebration of how awesome Type Moon is and a lot of in-jokes, and I thought that it was hilarious, even if I didn't get all the jokes. The ones I did get, I really enjoyed, and I'm hoping that a similar thing will hold true here. But even then, just seeing some of the characters as magical girls, that appeals to me as a magical girl fan, so...
Now, I was just thinking, was Pretty Sammy the first one-off joke turned into a full series?
It might.
Gag?
It might.
Is that the thing to blame?
Because it seems to be the same thing. Yeah. That's the same thing going on here.
Okay, Anthony, Dog and Scissors. Bradley's got this on his list.
Oh, good. I'm pleased I'm not the only one. Teenager, whatever else, he's really into his books, and from what I can gather from the synopsis, and he's murdered one day while being in a shop, and he is then resurrected as a dachshund dog. Yes, a dog. I think I've justified myself already why this is going to be the show of the year. But no, I think it looks so bizarre. And
the important thing to note here is that he becomes the pet of a dominating woman.
Is that the woman who kills him as well?
That's an excellent question.
Because she's wielding a pair of scissors, and so I'm presuming...
I think she's just doing the whole femdom thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this show is all text, no subtext, from what I can tell.
It looks hilarious, so...
I hope it's good. It's on Crunchyroll, so I was like, well, I'll almost certainly watch this now.
I'm pleased you've said that, because I wouldn't have known otherwise, because I tend to... Crunchyroll fleets past me with what it has, apparently.
From... Gonzo. So
it just looks like anything with dog and animals.
I know that. There was also another show this season that I thought about adding to the list, but then I saw it was by Gonzo, and I'm like, "Welp."
Would that be Leviathan?
No, Leviathan was last season. Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, that was really bad. I don't know about Train Hero bad, but holy shit!
A Town Where You Live, is that? Is that it? That the other one from this season?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Gonzo continues their streak of doing anime that sounds interesting, and then, well, Leviathan didn't even sound interesting to begin with, so never mind.
Okay, my next pick is Senyu Season 2.
Yes! Yes!
Based on the comic from Robinson Haruhara, and with exactly the same people who did the first season.
It's okay, Yamakon saving anime this
time.
Yeah,
and well, I think more importantly, you got Michiko Yokote writing it. she, they, because it's supposedly three people, is that woman. Mm. Is actually on two items on my list. And I generally like most things she writes, particularly either adaptations or original. I think she got to start doing Pat Labon novels.
Mm. Okay.
I think they're Ito prodigies.
I'll try and remember that name, even though I think Ito was the one who flamed out the moment he started writing for Dot Hack.
Yeah, I think I don't know whether he flamed out when he got divorced from Akimi Takada. Because that seems to be... I don't know when they split up, but once they stopped doing work together, that's when his work wasn't very good. Okie doke. Next up from Bradley is...
Tamayura, More Aggressive. The name is a joke, I'm sure, because it is the least aggressive cute girl comedy I've ever seen. It's directed by Junichi Sato, who I think does this particular kind of anime very, very well. But Tamayura was probably his weakest entry, or what I had seen of it. You know how muted and mundane these cute girl everyday life comedies can get? This was somehow more muted and more mundane, but I enjoyed it enough that I'm willing to check out the second season. So
it definitely has one of my warning signs of shows I would not like, and that is tildes in the title. Oh.
Yes. I think the name. I think the tildes are sarcastic, though, so you can see them.
I don't know about that. I'm looking at a picture of the artwork. I think those are sincere tildes.
The worst kind.
Full tilde sincerity. Righty ho. Anthony. Free.
Free. It's a swimming anime, isn't it? So these guys, they go swimming. And that's all I know. You know, I needed something lighthearted that wasn't cute girls, and I went for
cute boys instead.
Wet boys swimming submerged underwater.
Yes, wet cute boys. Do you realize that Kyoto Animation has a character animator just for the boys' chest? Like, that's this animator's job, is to make sure they have glorious chest on every frame.
Well, they do. I would trade in my current physique for any of the young chaps on the free animes. But I'm hoping this is really lighthearted. It's got friendship as a buzzword, so I'm hoping it's never going to be Kids on the Slope, but I want another Kids on the Slope.
It's absolutely not going to be Kids on
the Slope. Well, exactly. I wanted this nice friendship with characters that I would believe and kind of fall for, so... But we'll see. It's on my list and Bradley's, so...
Okay. From the pair of you, how much crossover fan art of JoJo's characters being portrayed as them is going to happen? I've seen plenty already.
Really?
It's actually on air. How much do you think there's going to be?
And you know, that makes sense because the way that Kyoto at least animated the commercial that uses the same characters, the animation kind of contorts their bodies in some really fun to watch ways. So,
yeah,
I'm sure just for the quality of the animation, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it'll make some great music videos.
It's that too.
That'll probably be where I appreciate it. Okay, next on my list is the other Michiko Yokote written show, and that is Genshiken Second Season.
Yes.
This time from Production IG. Yay! Not Arms. Boo.
And Mizushima's back in the director's chair. So.
Who did my favourite episode of the first series, which is episode 9, which also Michiko Yokote wrote. Yeah, so I don't see how this can be bad.
Ooh.
Crossing fingers, but yes, this is the other thing I am the most hyped about. So,
yeah, it's exactly the sort of humour that the pair of them do really well. So, outside of blood and gore, this is the thing I like, sort of thing I like to see them do. And all new voices, but I can't say I was ever super attached to the original voices, so Most of who I don't know. I think they brought over the woman who plays the main character from Azazel-san, who we can't remember the name of. I think she's playing Saki in this version, but I can't remember who any of the other people were.
Saki. I can't remember who Saki was. Was she the only normal girl
yes.
in the group? Okay. That sounds like a really good fit then.
Yeah.
Because the characters are a bit similar.
Yeah. So, really looking forward to that. Because it won't be blooming. What's his face from Arms? He's the worst director. I can't believe. I think people's love of Genshiken made them see past just how badly directed that Genshiken 2 was.
Oh, that was true for me. I think it was the strength of the source material that carried it.
Because, yeah, Arms don't get enough criticism in terms of actually pinpointing that that's a studio who do really bad shows. And the
you
shows
can write
they're
a
making.
Blog post about it.
I could do, but I can't. That would involve watching the stuff again. I watched 4 episodes of Queen's Blade, and that was enough.
Oh, God. Queen's Blade, it's such a simple concept. It's such an awesome concept, and it was so boring.
Yeah, it's like, how can you make this boring? I mean, it should be total sleaze.
Right!
It should be exciting sleaze, and you've got loads of great animators working on it as well.
Right!
You perverts.
And it doesn't work at all. It's such a goddamn shame. I'm still angry about it. Okay, moving on.
Yes, Bradley.
Before we completely lose all dignity. But I'm going to talk about Monogatari, so I guess I don't really recover it. We're getting a second season of Monogatari. I had no idea that this was coming. And I guess by second season, it means that Nisei Monogatari doesn't really count. I understand that Nisei Monogatari was kind of a side story, a self-indulgent side story. That doesn't seem to have any bearing on what happened in the first season. And I'm cool with that. I really enjoyed the first season, but it's been so long since I've seen it, and I've kind of forgotten why. And Nisei Monogatari has made me think less of this as a property, if that makes sense. That said, I'm looking forward to this. It'll also be Daisuke's first simulcast, so I'm interested in how they're going to handle that.
What is this? I have no idea what it is.
okay, so...
Oh, it's back in Monogatari.
Yes, yeah. It's the second season of the Monogatari franchise. Normally, they're named after the certain light novels, I think. And each light novel has like a Baka Monogatari. There's always like something in the Monogatari at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
There's complicated Japanese pun reasons for this that I can't remember at the moment, so I feel terrible.
Okay. Well, I will not be watching that because I thought the first thing was pretty dull. Clever, but dull. In how it tries to hide its dullness.
I don't know about that. It struck me as self-indulgent in an enjoyable way. Nisei Monogatari self-indulgent in a not enjoyable way.
Because his direction?
Shimbo.
Yeah, it always reminds me of Wally Wood's 22 panels that always work, which is like this document he wrote about how to make boring dialogue interesting in comics.
And I should look that up.
Because I think he uses a lot of the same tricks, as well as his typography fetish as well.
he's a very unique director in anime. And I think he's a very good fit for someone as self-indulgently esoteric as the guy who writes the original light novels, who has this very particular style, and that's recognizable almost immediately. Very self-referential and referential to other anime. Very, very, very self-aware. All the characters are extremely self-aware, and I think that's a lot of what makes it fun to watch. I think Anthony should give it a shot. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Anthony, Danganronpa.
Yeah, this was, it's based on a PSP game. And basically high school full of children who are really good at stuff, apparently. I don't know whether it's kind of special abilities kind of good at, or perhaps good at algebra or English literature. But basically they're trapped in this school. From what I gather, it'd be the bear. I don't know if you've seen imagery of the bear thing. And I think that's going to be like the mastermind behind the plan. Anyway, they're trapped in the school, and the only way that they can escape is by killing another student and not getting caught. So the murder happens, and then they've got to work out who did the murder, basically. So it's a bit of a mystery. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love mysteries. So why wouldn't this be on my list?
Yeah, it could be good.
Well, it's on your list.
It is.
Yeah. See, I don't know guesses. If it's on my list, it's a good show.
One of my favorite conceits for anime is kind of the game conceits, where characters are stuck and they have to play these rules to do a crazy thing. Mm. So,
well, I'm interested. I'm only disappointed that it is based on a game, because stuff that's based on games can be hit or miss.
Yeah, that was completely hit or miss. From making my list, I was like, oh, I like the character design, and then I saw that it's based on a visual novel, and I went, no, can't be. there's not enough time in the day for me to check that out. If everyone says it's super great, you really got to watch it, then I may check it out.
I'm going to tell you that, even if it's terrible.
Or I may check out the first episode next time you do one of these episodes.
Yeah.
Okie doke. My next one is another season two, which is TQ season two, which once again is just all what's his face, the guy who does it everything on that show.
Oh gosh, what's his name?
Shin Itagaki, rather. Yeah.
Punkest moe cartoon ever made. It's fantastic.
Writes it, draws it, directs it. Yeah. I'm pleased you introduced me to that, Bradley. It is craziness. Really bends down. It's, as I said before, it's like all the connective tissue is completely removed. It's just joke, done.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, I'm frightened that it might add more time to it, because I want it to stay as short as it is. Just for it to continue use Crunchyroll people.
They did say they're making it longer?
Oh no.
They did? I don't know. I'm hoping not.
No, I'm hoping they haven't, but I thought you were just saying they did say that. No, I've not heard that at all. I'm just saying I'm hoping that they haven't made it longer.
Sorry for awkwardly stepping all over each other there.
Just the right length.
Just, it's perfect as is. Just give me more of that.
Is this like an Azazel-san penis joke right now?
No.
Just the right length. I was overheard. I jumped on it. See, they should use that joke.
Righty-ho. Bradley, Rosen Maiden.
So, Rosen Maiden is getting a remake, which feels a little early. I mean, we got the first season of that in 2004, 2005. I remember enjoying the first season of the first anime incarnation, even though I can barely remember why. Perhaps I'll enjoy this one again. We'll see.
And then maybe someone can remake Angelic Leia.
That'd be cool.
Rosen Maiden is the bargain basement copy of.
It is. That's a fact. But with the gothic sensibility, and I like that little addition.
There was a while when everything Peach Pit did was kind of like, oh, that's the bargain basement club property.
Of all the Peach Pit adaptations, though, this was far and away the least offensive and most enjoyable.
That is true. Because their bargain basement choppers was pretty bad.
Tears. Fucking hell.
I like that you knew exactly what I was talking about as well. Anthony. Oh, blimey.
I'm not saying this. I was loving that you were introducing them.
Yukio Uten Kazuko.
Here we go.
We apologize to our listeners for fucking that up completely.
It's a translated name. Have you got a translated name anywhere?
I couldn't find one.
I'm sure Crunchyroll will probably give it one.
I will learn how to speak it. I will adopt its tongue, and I will be able to say it probably strongly. It just looks like a whole lot of fun. It's got talking dog raccoon things and, dog and scissors, talking dog. There's a theme. I like talking animals. They're very funny. They can be very funny. And it just looks really action-packed. I was expecting this weird kind of balmy comedy thing, but it looks like there's a lot going on. People kind of transforming into these dogs and raccoon things. There's goblins and Tengu guys with the big noses. And I don't know what's going on in it. I don't really know the synopsis, but when I watched the trailer, I was like, you know what? This looks entertaining. And there's not enough of that entertaining stuff around.
Yeah, it's based on the book by Tomohiko Morimi, who also did Tatami Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Word of warning, if you like Tatami Galaxy, a lot of Tatami Galaxy wasn't from the book. So I think there's only four alternate realities in the book, whereas they had to make a load more up to fill out the length of the show. So I don't know whether Tatami Galaxy is a good indicator of what his writing's like. It's directed by Masayuki Yoshihara, who has done a load and loads of Ghost in the Shell and Eden of the East episodes. And written by Shotaro Suga. I think the main things they've written are, is it Lagrange?
Lagrange. Oh, Lagrange was fun. Lagrange was a lot of fun. I saw that recently.
And what's that one with Snafu in the title recently?
Oh, yeah, My Teenage Snafu Romantic Comedy or something. Yes. I haven't seen it.
Did that as well.
Okay. I've heard that's actually pretty good, so... looks like all signs point to another can't miss.
I don't know about can't miss, but it's definitely worth checking out, I think, because production IG as well, so I'm sure the production level... Oh, no, it's PA Works. Are they part of production IG? I can never remember.
Well, the trailer...
Oh, no, somebody who used to work for production IG founded them. Okay.
Any doubts, watch the trailer. You'll want to watch it. Guaranteed.
Righty-ho. What's next from me? Gatchaman Crowds. This is my number one.
Yes.
The season.
Oh, this looks so much fun.
Everybody, pretty much everybody did Suratama coming back to do this. And it barely has anything to do with the original Gatchaman, to the extent where at one point on the website for it, the way that it was colored and the background of the page, you could barely see the word Gatchaman on it. So just like it was called Crowds. Yeah, it's about these team of superheroes who are led by some small bear-like being. It's apparently their team leader. Oh, at least the character design is...
Ooh. Oh, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks
great.
Isn't it
great? Oh, man.
So varied. Yeah, I just can't wait for this. Cannot wait. And even the live-action Gatchaman film, what I'm seeing of that, is kind of exciting me as well. Any other thoughts, you guys, on this?
Yeah, it looks cool. Apparently they fight something called Mess, and I just wish it would come into my bedroom and fight away.
Is there a trailer now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I couldn't find a trailer.
No, it wasn't on the site when I looked at it in the week, so it must have come up recently. Or hasn't been put on their own site yet.
I swear I saw a trailer. Now you're making me doubt myself. What is going on?
We dreamt it.
I dreamt it, apparently.
Yeah. I knew this next one was on Bradley's list. I've seen this in the list.
And now we're just in Bradley territory. We've got four more.
Right, this is Bradley doing his Bradley thing. Because nobody else will watch the Moe shows except Anthony sometimes, but then he commits to an episode and forgets to follow through. Here we go. I actually doubt that the new Futari Wa Milky Homes is going to be any good, because from what I've heard, the director was told from on high, will you please take our property seriously? Stop making the girls look like they've drained all their blood through diarrhea when they get really upset. Please stop having storylines where Agatha Christie looks like she's been designed by Pablo Picasso and runs away with another mystery author on a giant whale. Please stop doing silly bullshit that I think made the show awesome. They're probably going to take it seriously this time around. If it does, I will be very, very sad. Because besides TQ, this was the other really punk Moe cartoon.
I remember watching one episode of the series you suggested. And I could see why someone into that thing would like it, but... Yeah,
it's just
I
know Brian gave it an episode but couldn't even finish it.
It needed more people getting angry at all their behavior. For me, it's really funny.
No, that's the fun thing for it. You get angry at them. I think the subtext is that the girls are so Moe that they cannot function as human beings. That's the one gag for the entire cartoon. Anyway, speaking of Moe, but this one's probably completely serious. Guys, we finally got our Madoka Magica knockoff. Good job. Good job, anime industry. The Sun Penetrates Illusions looks like a very, very serious, dark, magical girl show. I'll check it out if only because people kept saying, oh, Madoka, it's like the new Evangelion. And I figured that the only way you could measure whether or not something was the new Evangelion was how many knockoffs you got in the next few years of
it. Yeah, I'd say if we get loads... If we get loads next year, then yes, it was.
Or here we go.
Tomino decides to do his own, then definitely it was. And claims it's definitely not influenced by Evangelion at all.
Oh, man.
Imagine the magical girl version of brain-powered.
I would watch that. Oh, man. I'm probably too deep into magical girls at this point. It's sad. God damn it. Next on my list is a new Gainax show. I'm not going to sound the death knells for Gainax just yet. I think they've produced some good shows in the recent past that didn't necessarily have to do with all the people who have left them. I don't expect this to be much better than okay, obviously. They have fallen very, very far from the heights that they were once at, even relatively speaking in the Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann age when they had the folks who are now at Trigger working for them. But it has a cool concept. I like the idea of cute moe girls running around shooting each other with paintball guns. That sounds like a lot of fun to watch. I don't really know much more about it beyond that at this point. And
it's
that
nearly
I
made my list as well, actually. Nearly.
Who knows whether it's going to be any good. It feels like a bit of a coin toss, but anyway.
They'll probably sell loads of airsoft and BB guns off the back of it in the same way that Girls and Panzer sold loads of model kits of tanks.
I doubt it's going to be as good as Girls and Panzer. Girls and Panzer just had amazing execution for what didn't seem like a good idea at the time, and it worked it all beautifully. I don't know if I can expect the same thing for this, but if they do pull it off, by gosh, I will be immensely entertained. I'm actually going to add something that isn't on the list here. It's called Turning Life. It's the new Trigger collaboration that they just post on YouTube after working on it for 5 minutes. No, Turning Girls, that's the name of it. I'm sorry, Turning Girls. Have you seen this, Brian?
I haven't. I haven't checked my YouTube.
Yes.
Is it sure?
It's on Anime Bancho's channel.
Okay, it should be in my subscriptions then.
It is about... I suppose 20-something girls kind of in that crucial time of their life, but that makes it when they're in a young career, but that makes it sound more serious than it really is. It stars the world's most annoying wannabe idol. And I think that's what really resonated with people when the first episode came out. 5 minute shorts. It's not quite operating anything like that other Trigger anime worked.
Inferno Cop.
Thank you. I forgot the name somehow, even though I had a picture of him in my head with the whole flaming skull thing. And
I'm quite pleased. That has been one of our more popular episodes of late, which means lots of people like Inferno Cop. Or the people who like Inferno Cop want everything to do with Inferno Cop they can get their hands on.
It didn't resonate with me, sadly. I almost feel bad about not liking that cartoon at this point, but I'll be honest, it just doesn't seem for me. But I'm really enjoying Turning Girls.
So that's actually out. You can
It's actually out. There's two episodes.
Yeah, I can see it now. I just missed it because it was surrounded by Peeping Life episodes.
Drop me a link to that at the end. I'll check it out.
Fun, silly, minimally animated.
Thank you.
Did I even give the name of the Gainax cartoon with?
You give the short name. There's a really long name to it as well.
There is. All right, my final entry, and then I'll finally shut up. World God Only Knows 3. It's Manglobe doing another cute moe girl cartoon instead of answering their true calling and doing the second season of Michiko at Hachin. But I think even with weak source material, they do a good job just in execution. And I think that did a lot to make the first two seasons of The World God Only Knows very, very fun to watch. If you're not familiar with the premise, it's basically that a guy who's very, very good at dating sims gets mistaken by an angel that because he's really good at dating sims, he must be a genius in love. And they basically need him to kiss girls to release evil souls that are possessing them, that are the source of a lot of their problems. The idea sounds kind of crazy. In practice, it's kind of a riff off of visual novel and general like Baisojo tropes. It doesn't mock them. I wouldn't say it's a parody, or I wouldn't say it's a satire, because it doesn't undercut the characters so much as just take them in unexpected directions and then reinforce them. But sometimes it can be surprisingly endearing. I'm really looking forward to this, just because I enjoyed the first two seasons so much, and even though Cutie sucked, I trust that World Cut Only Knows will hopefully be a little better.
And that's your lot. That is everything worth watching this summer. Now, whether people will say that in years to come after they've been out, whether they were worth watching, is a whole other matter. Because now it's time for my game. And once again, it is time to play When Did People Give a Hoot About? And boy, these are all from summer. These are all summer shows, stuff which started in July of the year they came out. And it was hard going. It was hard going finding things memorable.
Summer is usually like the dog season, you know. This is when
you might get like interesting things that a few people would remember or a few people liked, but big name hits were few and far between. So I've got 10. Sorry, Bradley.
Oh, I was just going to say that this season feels like the exception. Like, this is an honestly exciting season for me.
Yeah, I think Gatchaman Crowds, even though it may well be super great, I'm not sure how many people are going to watch it, how many people are going to be talking about it. These are all, again, taken from 1997 till now.
Okay.
And there's plenty of good things, but in terms of things I think people were talking about.
Okay, I can see that.
Few and far between. Anyway, let's get started. And Bradley, as you're the guest, you get to go first. What year did Medabots first air in Japan?
Wow. What's a Metabot?
Rachel.
It aired in US and UK, so...
Okay. I get the sense that Metabots came out around the same time that the Pokemon craze was reaching its peak. Pokemon, I think, was a big deal in, like, 96 to the early 2000s, and while it's still a big deal now, I think that's when most of the knockoffs were coming out. I'm going to say that Metabots came out in Japan in 2001.
Incorrect, Anthony. Chance to steal.
I think it's considerably earlier than that, because it strikes me as the kind of show where it came out in Japan well before we got it. Well before we got it. 99.
You're correct, Anthony.
Yes! Yes!
Ow.
That was perfect. I like this as well. I did actually quite enjoy this as a child.
It has
watching
got some good animation in it.
Yeah.
Anthony. Demashita, Powerpuff Girl Z.
How was that? 2001?
No, Bradley, chance to steal.
Can I hear the name again, please?
Demashita, Powerpuff Girl Z. Or Z.
Wow, you were really digging to find some of these. I have no idea.
It's the Japanese Powerpuff Girls cartoon.
What year did Anthony guess? I was trying to just process the name.
I said 2001.
2001? I'm going to guess 2002.
No, 2006.
Wow.
The rule did not hold this time.
No.
So when did it originally come out for us, Powerpuff Girls?
The original Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Late 90s, wasn't it?
I thought it was...
I think it ran into the 2000s, though.
Hmm. Okay.
But yeah, this was the Japanese version with them as magical... It's officially part of the magical girl lineage.
Really?
Yes.
You know, I should watch that sometime. If only it seems eminently bloggable.
Powerpuff Girls was great. I don't know how... This is.
Yeah. It was.
Okay, Bradley, Slayer's Revolution.
97?
No, Anthony. Slayer's Revolution.
2000.
No, 2008.
Whoa!
It was the comeback.
That's right. Oh, man, I completely forgot it had that.
Okay.
I think people who liked Slayers in the 90s probably had forgotten as well. Well, they liked it by the time it came out. Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis's favourite, Scryde.
Scryde.
Powerful cartoon.
I don't know what that's...
Better than Akira.
2002.
Incorrect. No. Bradley.
Damn it.
2003.
No, you should have gone the other side. 2004.
Damn it.
Shit. So that was 2004?
No, 2001.
Oh, 2001. Okay. Okay.
Okay, Bradley. Bacano.
I loved this anime so very much. 2007.
Spot on.
Wow. Yes. Well played.
Anthony. Witch Hunter Robin.
Oh. I think we've already said 2000. I think it's 2001.
No, we've already had 2001. That was.
I thought. Damn it.
Oh, so you're not repeating?
No, same rules as the last two times. Yeah, no years repeat.
Shoot, I should have been writing down the
years. Yeah, I say that every time as well.
Jeez, Bradley,
terrible at this. Which one of Robin? That's one of those anime that aired on Adult Swim, and I keep forgetting about it. But I remember enjoying it when I saw it. All right, so it aired. Is it? Is it 2003?
No, 2002.
Oh, damn it!
Okay, Bradley.
Oh,
let's see.
Oh. Of course, you gave me this one. All right. This was a couple of years ago. So, I believe it was summer of 2011.
You are correct.
All right. Thank you.
Anthony. Yeah. Serial Experiments Lane.
Oh, God. I think this is... Actually, I forget what bloody years we've said. 2000?
No, not 2000.
Oh.
Bradley.
1999.
No, 1998.
What? Oh.
I think it came out in the US in 99.
Okay.
That's when I bought the import VHS of it. Okay, Bradley. Pani Pony Dash.
Yeah, this was a big deal a while back, and now everyone's forgotten about it. I didn't find it very funny when it first came out. And I think I was thinking that sometime in like 2004. I'm going to say it came out in 2004. No, we've done that. 2005.
You hadn't done it, but you were correct. Second guess yourself. It was 2005.
How does he do it?
Anthony.
Yeah.
Ham Taro.
Oh, I remember. Is this
2007? No. Bradley.
99.
No, 2000.
Oh, I'm way off.
Oh, that's it. So Bradley is the winner. 3-1.
Oh. Whoa. Oh, I only got Metabots.
I don't know. I think Brian was tipping the scales a little. He gave me a couple that he knew I would know.
I put them through random lists, so...
Oh, well, you did.
Pick an order at all.
Yeah, I probably would have got them one out or way off, like that last one. Oh, well. I thought I was actually going to... When I got Metabots, I thought, this is another one of mine. This is me. I've won this. Not quite.
Okay, Bradley, anything you want to plug?
I swear, this time around, by the time you're listening to this episode, my first entry into the Golden Annie about 2003 will be up. So check the Golden Annie blog, goldenannie.blogspot.com. I'll also probably be talking about this season several weeks after everything has aired on my blog, thosedamncartoons.com. Thosedamncartoons.wordpress.com. I haven't sprung for an actual... website yet.
Good, Anthony?
Just on Twitter as normal, Ant Askew, and please stop the hate mail from last week's episode. It's it's very overbearing.
This is all Brian's fault, by the way.
I'm just joking. There's no hate mail. I've had a lot of fan mail agreeing with me. Which do you believe more? I've had the hate mail or not?
Oh, dear.
It's already been out less than 24 hours.
Well, exactly. It's a very tender subject.
Take it to the... in the manner it was intended, your controversial opinions.
Boy, oh boy. I can't wait to listen to this.
It's not that bad, Bradley. Don't let Brian's jaded view jade you, because it's not.
Righty-ho, and you can find me on Twitter as well. I'm at awesome_engine, and I have a website, awesome-engine.com. Who knows, I may update it before Bradley's Golden Annie post appears, but probably not likely. And you can find me on Tumblr at dynamitingthebrain.tumblr.com. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the summer fun that is Dynamiting the Brain. Goodbye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.